And hello, it's Dan Restuccio from Post Magazine with another Post Magazine podcast from the floor of SIGGRAPH 2012. And I'm here with Seth Stieling. Did I get that right?
That'd be Stieling.
Stieling, close, Seth close. Stieling, okay. And with OptiTrack, a premier motion capture technology that you're going to tell us something about. So is this a new version of OptiTrack that you here have on the floor?
Yeah, so what we're showing this year is actually a brand new camera, which is basically fresh off the press this week for SIGGRAPH. It is our new Prime 41 camera. So it's 4.1 megapixel camera. It's got a range of 80 feet, capture volumes of up to 75 by 150 feet with a perimeter only setup. And the punchline is that it's 5K, which is about a third to half the cost of similarly spec competing cameras. For us, this is a really significant step forward into kind of the high-end motion capture. So we kind of clawed our way into the market 5 or 6 years ago as the low-cost guys, really with the goal to democratize motion capture, bring it to a lot of new people that can use motion capture as a tool, but for them the cost was prohibitive. So in the last 5 to 6 years, we've moved 1,000 systems to people that otherwise wouldn't have been able to afford motion capture. We're continuing to market those, and that's kind of our bread and butter. Those are our roots, but we really want to be able to offer the same affordability to people that are speccing out huge spaces and, you know, for professional production.
Can you give me the sort of name-dropping hit list of some prime games and or motion pictures that your technology has been used on recently?
Yeah, it's a little hard for us to hit the games because a lot of times we know the studios, but we don't necessarily know what games they were used on, or we can hypothesize, but it's sometimes a little bit of a secret from the studio. But some of the recent films that have come out, some of our customers have worked on, will be Prometheus, Snow White and the Huntsman, Battleship, John Carter. So a lot of these guys actually are kind of a common thread with some of these films is a lot of the studios that jumped on board with us 2 or 3 years ago are previous studios or were VFX studios, but they are expanding their services into the previs world. So previs is a lot more realistic and a lot more viable, and it's a lot more appealing to add to your kind of portfolio as a studio if you can bring motion capture into it, because then you can iterate on animations, character animation, virtual camera stuff. We have a cool virtual camera system. You can iterate on these really quickly, and instead of having to send it back to your animators to keyframe, get notes from the director, do it again 3 days later, you can say, you know what, I'll have that to you this afternoon. But of course, with the cost being kind of prohibitively expensive for a lot of these studios, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, with our lower cost structure, we're bringing this tool in an affordable way to a lot of studios that previously, maybe they were strictly VFX houses, but they think, you know what, why not diversify, bring in addition to animation and effects, let's bring in previs as a part of what we offer, and it's making them a more compelling studio, and it is, you know, having a pretty dynamic impact on what the production cycle looks like for major films.
A couple of questions. One of which is how easy is it to set up? Can you do it as a portable system? In other words, can people bring it into a space, or is it something that you want to have like sort of locked down in a dedicated area?
Both, actually. Cool that you brought that up. One of the guys that is doing some really cool previs, one of the companies is Haywon, a customer of ours that I was just alluding to. They have their own studio in Santa Monica, and they bring directors in and they bring clients in and do some of the more ambitious work that they're going to do in-house. But they also have all these little kind of pods that they send out, the little stealth pods. They're smaller systems because in addition to making affordable mocap, one of the hallmarks of an OptiTrack camera for a long time has been super efficient design, a lot of times really compact, small, so you can pack them on a plane and take them with you. So then you want to do previs on site before the rest of your cast comes and the crew, and so maybe the director and the previs team goes as kind of a little strike force beforehand, bring a full mocap system with them, and then they can do virtual camera work on site and sketch out all of their shots, figure out what lenses they're going to use, you know, basically map it out and really have some substantial structure to what they're going to do before they bring everybody in. So the portability is definitely beneficial for people in that.
A lot of the situation in mocap is like it's the mocap part is like the easiest, where it's the cleanup of the data afterwards. How is that process with your system? I mean, is it extensive amount of cleanup, or is it pretty transparent?
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of the bad rap that mocap's had. And in part, it's because it's a technology that's been around for a long time and has been steadily progressing for decades. At this point, and this isn't really even just unique to our system, but anyone that's doing optical motion capture, which is what we do, camera-based motion capture, it really offers the best precision. It's the gold standard in motion capture in terms of precision. And what that means is that you have less data cleanup, less jitter, less noise to deal with. Optical capture is dealing with markers, which is actually pretty beneficial, because a lot of times if you lose a little bit of data, swapping a couple markers as opposed to dealing with animation where you have jitter and it's already baked to bones, it's a different proposition. So people that are accustomed to cleaning up data, a lot of times there are people, I think the perception comes from people that are buying mocap data online, they get it from a library, and it's already baked to bones and it's jittery, and that's a nightmare to deal with. But when you're bringing data out of our system, that's not the case. You can, and that's why we like to come to places like SitGraph and do, we put it all out there. We have a stage right up front, and we have dancers going all day long with, you know, life-size characters. So you can see on a one-to-one ratio, you know, what is it like? And a lot of times I get people to say, well, what's the data like? And then we kind of chuckle, and it's like, well, you know, just look, it's right there.
Do you have your own cleanup software, or do you just come into things like Motion Builder and or Maya?
We have our own editing tools, although you can certainly bring the data into Motion Builder. Some people do a little bit of both. We try to make it as really as simple as possible because we were opening the market up to, you know, 1,000 new installations of people that couldn't afford motion capture before we came along. There were a lot of people that were really new to motion capture, and because of that, we had to have powerful but simple tools for them to be able to get usable data out really quickly. So that's kind of been a driving ethos for us. But certainly there are some pretty powerful tools out there like Motion Builder, and if you want to bring the data in there, that works as well.
Final question, the tough one, which is how would you compare your system again to probably your biggest competitor, which is something like Vicon?
Well, with the launch of this new camera, the Prime 41, we are really comparing very favorably. We have a capture range, like I said, of 80 feet on a 16 mil mocap marker. That's yielding capture volumes of 75 by 150 feet with sub-millimeter precision, tenth of a millimeter precision. That's the kind of performance that people expect out of the gold standard mocap applications. And, you know, really, until now, that's been the one area where we haven't been able to offer it because we've been kind of working our way up. We start on the low end, super affordable, really accessible, previs-friendly systems, but we've had our sights on the high end because, frankly, systems shouldn't have to cost $3 million or $2 million when, you know, and we're showing that because we're putting better performing cameras or equivalent performing cameras, pixel for pixel, out there for a third of the cost in an economy right now where even big studios are feeling the pinch. That's a super compelling kicker, you know, and really ultimately the performance is super important, but that might be the thing that kind of tips the scale for them and saying, you know what, we can make a big new capital investment. We can build out a big new studio. And the value proposition is cool at a third of the cost because it either means you can retain your initial budget and you can now build three studios or have triple the cameras and have a tremendously enormous system, or you can save two-thirds of your, you know, initial projected investment, and maybe there was something else that the studio really wanted to invest in, decided they had to cut it, and now they've got the budget for it. So it will hopefully really be impacting the efficiency and the dynamism, you know, with which some of these larger studios can do business.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks you for joining us this afternoon, and this is Dan Rasier Show signing off for Post Magazine Podcast.
Free.